would you describe the reaction around the NHL office when Seattle, and I'm going to say Seattle in particular, but when there wasn't a bid? Surprised, disappointed? How would you describe the league's reaction?
Well, I mean, look, it wasn't from our perspective. We were in touch with the number of people who had requested the applications throughout, you know, the 2 weeks that they were out there. So, you know, when it came to, I don't even know what last the deadline date was. I guess the 10th or it didn't come. Actually, it went out the 10th, so it was just last week.
Right.
It didn't come as a major shock to us because we kind of knew what dynamics were facing those people and what some of their considerations were. So I wouldn't say we were overly surprised at the deadline itself. And given some of the dynamics going on in those two marketplaces, I guess at the end of the day, we weren't, you know, greatly surprised by the lack of applications. And I'll leave it there.
Bill, what factors go into actually giving the – okay, we've got the application. What are you looking at? I mean, obviously, there are the obvious things, you know, the arena, the fan base, things like that, season ticket base, things like that, and what they could be. But what do you look at? What are some of the things that people might kind of think about or say, wow, that's interesting, whether you do or don't decide to give to award a franchise?
I mean, you touched on the three most important factors, which is arena, ownership, and demographics. And probably among those, ownership goes a long way to being very, very important in the grant of any expansion franchise. Beyond that, you do look at certain intangibles, the context. You obviously have to make a business case that the market itself is going to add to the league. And, you know, it's not just about the expansion fee. It's about whether adding a market or adding a franchise makes sense from an overall global business perspective, really on a long-term, with a long-term vision. And again, these decisions are kind of made by our board of governors. So, different owners come at that formula differently. And that's one of the things you kind of manage through an expansion process. Other relevant factors are things like, you know, what are we looking at currently? I mean, we have, geography plays a role where we are and where we aren't. And that's obviously a concern for our clubs, but also for the Players Association. So that's a relevant factor. You hit on most of the relevant factors. It's a complex formula. You kind of throw it all into the hopper and kind of see what comes out.
In conversation with Bill Daly, NHL Deputy Commissioner. Bill, for the longest time, professional sports leagues in general have always kind of looked at Las Vegas as, we don't really know if we want to go there. I mean, I can remember when the Montreal Expos were for sale. There was some discussion about, you know, maybe Vegas might put together a bid. And, I mean, it was just, you know, people were running away from it. At what point did it kind of become, and I understand they have to go through a whole process, so I'm not, I know you have to respect that, but Bill, at what point did it kind of become okay for a professional sports franchise to think of moving into the gambling capital of North America?
Well, I can only really speak for our league.
Sure, in particular, yes.
And our commissioner, and what I would say is I don't think there's ever been kind of an aversion necessarily to Las Vegas as a market. Now, Las Vegas has to make sense on all the other metrics that you look at in having a franchise, and maybe, you know, they're clearly a unique market in terms of kind of the tourism and the legalized gambling that takes place there, and maybe there are certain additional safeguards you would look at before putting a franchise there. But the market itself, Las Vegas as a destination or the potential host of a franchise city or NHL franchise has never been something in my time at the NHL that was a non-starter. It's always something whether Las Vegas as a market itself made sense from a business perspective.
Well, and it seems to me too, Bill, that for every sports league, I mean, look, there's an untapped source of revenue, not just for you, for baseball, and I know Adam Silver's been very open about this. There's kind of an untapped source of revenue there, isn't there, in the area of legalized gambling, fantasy games, whatever you want to call it. There could be a rich vein of money there to be tapped into.
I mean, certainly there's something there, and fantasy sports would certainly attest to that, and the popularity of fantasy sports. I think gambling per se is always tougher when it comes to a sport like hockey than it is some of the other sports. Mm. And you know, if you look at the popularity of gambling on hockey, not just where it's legal in this country, but other places as well, it's a much more difficult sport to kind of handicap in a meaningful way. So, I mean, it's there. The laws are what they are. I think it's fair to say that they have been evolving over time. And I think, you know, while we don't have to champion change, we have to be prepared to take advantage of change if it happens.
How much trepidation is there, Bill, around the whole idea of, and it can get really messy. We talked for all of last week with the Baseball Hall of Fame stuff about Pete Rose. And I know when the NBA came to Toronto, Commissioner Stern was not happy that basketball was on the pro line ticket. How much trepidation is there around the idea of gambling on the games and it, you know, maybe in close proximity to some of the players sitting right there in Las Vegas?
Well, I think the biggest issue that you deal with in gambling, and that's not just in Las Vegas, everywhere, is the perception of your sport and protecting the integrity of the competition itself and making sure that it's perceived to be on the up and up and square and that the athletes are trying their hardest to win every game. And that's always been the bugaboo or the issue with gambling and whether, you know, people can somehow, people with large monetary interests can somehow influence the outcomes of games. And that's always been the biggest concern from a professional sports standpoint. What I would say is all the leagues, I know our league in particular, already take steps to monitor that on an ongoing basis, make sure that we're satisfied that everything's on the up and up and square and protecting the league's integrity. I would say the entities who engage or make a business out of legalized gambling do that themselves because they know how important it is to protect the image of the events and games that you're betting on. So I actually think the world's changed a lot in the last 20, 30, 40 years. And, you know, as long as everybody keeps their eye on the ball and make sure they're doing what they need to do, I think the integrity and the perception of integrity of the sport can be maintained.
Bill, what's the next step for the Quebec City and Las Vegas groups? Or more to the point, what is the next step for the NHL with these groups?
Well, we're going through what we have kind of termed the second phase of the expansion application process. I believe they have additional materials due to us by August 4th. So, you know, we're smack dab in the middle of that, and then we'd move to, assuming successful satisfaction of the second phase, you'd move into kind of a more intensive due diligence process in the third phase. It's more interactive in the sense that, these expansion applicants are going to want to know a lot more about the NHL's business, the club's business and how they've operated. And they'll get some access to some confidential information in that regard as we move toward kind of the conclusion of kind of the application process. And then I can't really give you a timeline as to where we go from there. It really kind of depends on how much information we have, how interactive our executive committee wants to be with the applicants. And there's no specific timeline as the commissioner made clear in June. I mean, we hope to have everything submitted to us. I think the current date is August or September. I think September 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Everything submitted to us, and then we'll kind of take it from there and see what's appropriate in terms of next steps.
Bill, what about the alignment of teams if, you know, the expansion goes through? And for some of the, I think about travel for a team like, well, let's take the team here in Toronto. You know, trips to Buffalo, Boston, you know, New York, Philadelphia, Carolina, they're not that far away. I mean, you're talking an hour and a half, and the whole idea of realignment and who gets put in what conference, that how much have you considered that in the entire mix of this expansion process?
Well, it's clearly a tricky issue. And, you know, I mentioned it in responding to the question of what factors are relevant. I mean, it's not a secret to anybody. We have 16 teams in the East and 14 teams in the West right now. I don't envision a scenario in which any of the existing teams in the Eastern Conference are going to volunteer to move West.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to look at it that way, and I don't know exactly what that means at the end of the day. But that's one of the issues that we're going to have to wrestle with, and then ultimately our board will have to wrestle with.